Gera can hit them. Did! Oh, what a goal by Zoltan Gera! And still Baptista, yes! It's Cavani! It's fantastic!
One from David Villa. Oh, great finish!
He's done just that, he scored! Juninho's done it!
Kubu making another glimpse of goal here!
Hello and welcome to the Streets Won't Forget podcast. I'm your host, Dan Mountney, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Og, Deanie! It's Ben Woolley and Harry Martinez.
I lost what you were doing for a second there. He's just lost his mind halfway through the intro.
I'm not going to lie, I realised about 5 minutes before we started recording that I hadn't written down the classical intro for you both, and I panicked, okay? And this is what you've got.
That's up there with one of your best.
Thank you.
I'd argue, though, that Woolley is definitely Deanie.
Okay.
Okay. You can argue it amongst yourselves. I really don't care. I'm not bothered.
Woolley did have that Watford top, to be fair.
I did, the long sleeve one. God knows.
You did.
What was going through my mind, but you know what? It's comfortable as hell.
I think Harry's too selfish to be Hulk. I don't think he's knocking it down in that scenario.
Are you joking? I can't handle the pressure of trying to finish that.
Yeah, mate, there's a reason I take the pens on pro clubs.
Mate. Yeah, mate, I can't handle that. I am a bottle job all over.
Well, boys, I'd like to start us off with a little story for you. Do you remember a few weeks ago we looked into the case of Aston Villa and the stolen FA Cup?
Yes.
Indeed.
Well, one of my work colleagues, Pierce, who is a massive Villa fan, listened to the episode and he told me it's not the only time that Villa have had a trophy stolen.
Oh, no way.
It's also not the first time that Birmingham police were shit at their jobs. So, in 1982, Villa won the European Cup. Now, after the final, two players took the trophy to a pub in Tamworth. And as you'd expect, they had quite a few drinks and got involved in a darts match. At some point during the match, they go to check on the trophy, and it's gone.
Oh, dear.
Oh, we could have seen that coming.
Yeah. You take the European Cup to the pub, some bloke is going to nick it. It's just the way it goes.
Can you imagine taking the sodding Champions League trophy down the half moon?
Do you know the worst thing about that is my dad was at that game. Should I be checking under his bed?
Well, we'll come on to possible suspects or lack thereof in a minute. Not long after they discovered the trophy had been stolen, about 100 miles away in Sheffield, a bloke walks into a police station and tells officers, "I've got the European Cup in the boot of my car." They go outside and check, and sure enough, there's the trophy in the boot of the car. Now,
right.
You'd think the police would question this man immediately, right?
Yeah.
What they instead decide to do is gather up as many officers as possible and stage their own European Cup final in full uniform in a garage at the back of the station.
Fucking what?
Yes. It gets worse. The winning team then gets their photos taken with the trophy.
Wow.
After the game, you would assume they would then do their job as police officers and ask the man, "Why the fuck have you got the European Cup in your car?" But no, they just let him leave. He just walked out.
Wow.
So then you're thinking, right, they've let him walk out, but they're probably realising there may have been a major crime here. Is an investigation launched? No. The incident only comes to light in 2010. When some of the pictures of the winning team with the trophy are found in the station as it's being cleared out ahead of being closed down. They even went to the effort of scrubbing out the man's face and nobody could remember who he was. Is this not the shittest bit of police work you've ever seen?
Oh, this is fantastic.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, they've got the European Cup back and they've had a bit of fun with it.
I'd argue this is a victimless crime.
Yeah, I'd agree with you.
Fair enough.
It's the only way I can think of where I'd be on board, right? I'm trying to imagine being a copper in that station And some guy comes up and says, yeah, I've got the trophy in my boot. At first, you're like, yeah, piss off, mate. And then you check it, it's actually there. And I'm like, I'm never going to see, like, get my hands on this again.
I'm definitely trying to recreate Mandzukic and win that trophy in about 100%.
Oh, it's fantastic. The other thing about this is Birmingham Police are culpable of idiotic police work. Further, when somebody from the station in Tamworth calls them up and says, we've got something here you probably might want to come and look at, and they say, we're dealing with a major incident, we don't care.
It's nice to know that they haven't improved in 100 years worth of time advancement.
So basically, what we've established is, if there is a crime involving a football trophy, do not let Birmingham Police investigate, and never let Aston Villa win a trophy again.
We just remove them as a football club, especially after the weekend.
And if you want to rob a trophy, just do it, because you seem to be getting away with it quite easily, especially if it's in Birmingham.
We just want to make it clear we don't condone any kind of crime, including theft, on this podcast.
Unless you want to give us an exclusive on the podcast.
Yeah, if you do, let us know first. You can email us at streetsofforgetpodcast@gmail.com. Exactly.
Yeah, bring it round. We'll have a little kickabout.
Great plug.
Well, on the topic of stories, Harry, I believe you've got a little tale for us about one of our favourite managers, Steve Evans.
I have indeed. And this is brilliant, because I've always thought of this man as something slightly different. So this is obviously about Steve Evans. I've given you the brief that I was going to tell you a story about Stevenage manager, Steve Evans. Now, us three, I'd like to include myself in this as a fan of Stevenage now.
We'll allow it. You were there at Villa Park.
Yeah, and a lover of Steve Evans and everything he's about. Now, obviously, we know I play a lot of golf. And the other week, I was playing golf with a fellow who is an ex-Tottenham, Norwich and Cardiff footballer. And in the...
By the name of?
I will tell you off air. In 1999, he took over as manager of a club called Merthyr Town, who were playing in the Southern Conference League at the time. Now, the manager at Boston United at that point was none other than Steve Evans. So when I got on the conversation with this man about the fact that I'm an Norwich fan, but I go to a couple of Stevenage games, and he said, oh, Steve Evans, I'm glad to see he's calmed down. And I said, really? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when I was at Merthyr and he was at Boston, he said he was the biggest pain in the ass to have a manager on the same sideline as you. I said, why? He said he would bark not only at the ref and the linesman, he would bark at his players, just snap the fucking leg of the constantly. Constantly. Apparently, he was so bad that he couldn't remember which season, but in one season, the top of the red card list was none other than Steve Evans, the manager of Boston United.
That is fantastic, to be
fair.
It's
funny you say this, because I think in League One this season, he's definitely topped not just the red and yellow card list for managers, but also the fined list as well for things he said about referees afterwards.
Yeah, mate, he apparently was awful for it. Apparently after the game, he was nothing but nice. But during a game, he was apparently just getting your head because of how loud and abrasive he was.
what year was this?
He said it was roughly 1999 to 2001, one of those years.
It's good Amazing. To know that in 20 years, nearly, he's still not changed. He's exactly the same as he was.
That story with Boston is mad. He got sacked in 2004 because he was banned by the FA for fielding ineligible players at Boston United. He got them promoted. They then deducted points the next season. So Steve got him promoted and got sacked simultaneously.
It's excellent. Fantastic. Only a man of Steve Evans' calibre could achieve anything like that.
He said he was a bit thinner back then as well. And I don't know whether I believe him. Saying that, he couldn't have been any larger.
Yeah, not a chance.
No. Ben, I believe you'd like to pose as a question for Question Time.
Welcome to Question Time.
I've been doing a little bit of travelling recently. It got me thinking about matches abroad and whatnot. And what I want to know from you boys is, if there is one game you could go and see anywhere in the world,
Ooh.
What would you go and see and why? The caveat to this being, it can't be your club or national team.
What, so it's got to be a game that's happened or a game that you'd want to go see now?
Something like a realistic fixture. You can't be like, I want to see Barnet play Brazil.
No, no. What I mean is, so I could say I want to go see the 2010 Champions League final, or
are you thinking more a rivalry?
Yeah, like a derby game, or like a.
I've got an answer for you immediately. Fixture.
Yes, me too.
As opposed to one from the past.
It comes with a caveat, my answer, and the caveat is I can wear a full suit of armour while I go. I'd like to go to Boca Juniors River Plate.
Yeah. I'd either go with that one or Fenerbahce Galatasaray.
I don't think I'm brave enough to do either.
You just want to go on holiday with your mum, mate.
Yeah, mate, I forget she gets pitch side action.
She's the mascot.
She's there leading the chant down on the pitch side, yeah.
She dresses as Graeme Souness often, Lee, and just runs into the middle of the pitch.
She was playing for the under-19s for Fenerbahce when they were
All right, because you mentioned it. If you could have been at any other game, one that's already happened, which one would you pick?
Ooh.
As I said, no club or country.
You know what? Funnily enough, I think I'd have to go for that 2022 World Cup final.
Okay. I can see that.
That is one of the best games of football I've ever seen.
I don't know what I'd go for.
It's interesting when you say, like, not your own teams. Because obviously I'd be like, oh, I want to be at England winning the World Cup in 66.
Yeah, there's not... What do I say there, mate? The Milk Cup. Yeah, great.
You could have been at that semi-final you had, what, 8 years ago or whatever. Sensational moment.
For the sake of historical research, I think I'd go to the 2005 Champions League final to see whether we were correct in our decision to take it away from Liverpool.
I want to go back to the FA Cup final in 1890, and I want to go on the team night out and see what happens to the
see
trophy.
Where the cup is.
I want to go to that darts match played between two Aston Villa players in a pub in the town in 1982. I'll find out who stole that trophy.
Good question.
Fantastic. Harry, before we move on to the main part of the episode, I believe there is an Andy Kaz of the Week to dish out.
Yeah, this was tough. If I'm honest with you, this was tough, but there's one clear winner. But I would like to, you know, there are some very close names that got near this. But I think it has to go to Neymar Jr. for betting on poker while celebrating his daughter's first birthday. Please tell me you've seen this video.
I did see this as well.
I completely forgot about it until you mentioned
unbelievable.
It. Unbelievable. I've seen it.
Unbelievable.
It's nice that he's added a new string to his bow outside of just being weird with his sister.
Yeah, he's now also determined on losing all that Saudi money he's got.
It's going to take him a while, to be fair, mate.
It's not wrong. I mean, he goes above and beyond to get the Andy Kaz of the Week award this week. But I think... honourable mention to Arsenal and Liverpool for blowing up, and an honourable mention to Spurs as well for that, and an honourable mention to Patson Daka for solidifying himself as probably the worst striker I've ever seen in the Championship. Did you see that video I sent you of, it was a clip of all the big chances that Patson Daka had missed this season? It was 3 minutes long.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
3 minutes. He has been woeful.
Yeah, which is shocking because he used to be incredible on Football Manager.
I know, mate. I know. The fact that you're still being outscored by an injured and someone who can't be asked, Jamie Vardy, shocking.
I would like to say on the Neymar thing, I think with the Andy Kaz of the Week, we've had some kind of winners that loosely deserve it. But I think Neymar betting on poker at his daughter's birthday is the kind of thing I could genuinely see Andy Carroll doing.
Not even betting on it at her birthday. He's betting on it during the video of them singing happy birthday to her. Like, literally in the most important moment, he is there going, I'm folding.
How are you not paying attention for the 30 seconds it takes?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's like, it's the bare minimum.
Like, it's the stake in that is probably at most 10 grand. Like, he can afford to lose that. He'll earn that next second.
So he'll probably make more money
not
like
playing
putting his phone down and singing than he would from actually winning the bet.
He'd literally make more money not playing.
His wife's there going, oh, are you filming her blowing the candles out? Yes, yes, love. Yeah, definitely.
Hey,
yeah.
Oh, Swansea have just scored against Birmingham. Get in there, my son.
Oh, truly, truly an Andy Kaz of the Week award, and possibly a nomination for the year come the end of it.
Let's move on, because it feels like a fairly long time since we voted a player into the Streets Overgate Hall of Fame. And we need a new member. So this week, we're talking about some unsung heroes, offensive midfielders. Who would like to kick us off?
I can go first.
Oh.
And I want to start us off with a little thought experiment, a little question. So when we think of a defensive-minded player, what kind of things come to mind? Like, what sort of attribute, what sort of build?
Tall, strong. Tall, strong, and slow.
Yeah, I'd go along with that. You know, like, expect them to be good in the air, not too agile or quick, but they can put in a tackle.
Yeah.
Well, my player this week might be the exact antithesis of this. In that, I'm going to sum him up with a little, like, sentence, like I said to you earlier. Like, no one this defensive should be this quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I am talking this week about Ramirez.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Unbelievable.
The player we all know very well. This guy, I don't know what whoever created him was doing when they put together his footballing DNA.
It was Brazil. Are we surprised?
Yeah, I mean, in a shocking turn of events for this podcast, we put forward another Brazilian. But while he was a defensive midfielder, he could be a box-to-box kind of mid. He could play out wide. This guy, his skill set was just yes. Like, he could tackle. He was unbelievably quick. He was incredible on the ball, and he scored some outrageous goals. So, his career starts off, obviously, out in, I think, Brazil. Joinville is the worst pronunciation you've ever heard, but he's where he started.
Good effort.
And he cuts around Brazil for a little bit, and then, obviously, gets the move to Benfica. He follows the Benfica talent pipeline to the Premier League, as always happens. And we're not going to kid ourselves. It's Chelsea we know him from.
Yeah.
Because he joins in 2010. And the start of his Chelsea spell, like, you think, okay, this guy's pretty good. Like, he puts in some dominating defensive performances. You see him winning possession back all the time, starting attacking moves. And he goes on to, we say about a lot of players that, oh, you know, they've won it all. In his Chelsea spell, he literally won it all. He won.
Yeah.
Not in the same year, obviously, but he won every single domestic and international trophy that Chelsea were eligible to compete in. And while doing so, became an utterly incredible player. So he obviously joins, I think his first season is kind of quiet. That 2011-12 season is phenomenal. I think if you've seen him, if you've never seen him play, go and watch the highlights from the semi-final second leg against Barcelona in the Champions League.
Man. Unbelievable game.
One of the best defensive performances I've ever seen. And to top it off, he scores an outrageous goal that sends Chelsea...
That lob is so stupid.
Hang it in the Louvre. It's a thing of beauty.
Like, he spends the entire game absolutely dominating an incredible Barcelona team and then scores the goal that takes Chelsea to the final.
Who gets to that position and thinks... Right, I'm in the new camp. I'm about to knock out Barcelona. I know what I'll do. I'll just lob it so nonchalantly that it's unreal how he does it.
Well, on this rare attack, and it's a lovely ball as well. A chance here. It's a goal. Ramirez arrives from nowhere to give Chelsea hope again.
It's sensational. So this season, he's fantastic. So he's a key player for Chelsea. They obviously go on to win the Champions League. He ends up being voted Chelsea's Player of the Year.
And when you think of that team, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and this is like Chelsea's arguably heyday of talent.
Yeah.
And you look at him, and he's
this season they finished 10th.
Yeah, but you win the Champions League, you've got to have some quality.
He's you look at him, and obviously we know the way he plays. Like, great going forward, amazing defensively, fantastic talent on the ball, but that just comes from being Brazilian. And then you look at his build, and he's like this 5'11", stick-thin bloke.
Yeah.
That just throws himself at you if you have the ball.
He was the original N'Golo Kante, wasn't he?
I was about to say, and I thought I was going to get slaughtered for this, but I'm glad you've gone there before me. He was like a more technically gifted Kante.
Yeah, he was better at going forward. Yeah.
What he lacked defensively compared to Kante, he had going forward.
I don't think he even lacked anything defensively.
No, but I think Kante was just like Makélélé. They're just a level above everything.
Oh, he's like a pure. Kante was like a pure out and out defensive player.
Yeah,
he scored a
yeah.
few goals, but it wasn't his strength. Ramirez could just do everything. Like,
yeah.
The other goal that stands out. Do you remember his finish against Man City?
No.
Well, you're in for a treat because I have found the link of it for you because I had a feeling you might have forgotten.
He dug it from the archive.
It was voted the goal of the season, or Chelsea's goal of the season in 2010-11. And bear in mind, this is his first season with Chelsea. And this is a defensive midfielder who does this.
Oh, I remember this.
Oh, I do, yeah.
He beats what? Not one, not two, three players and then clips it around the keeper? Amazing.
What is he doing in the number nine position? I have to
the question, why is the defensive midfielder standing in the spot that the striker should be?
I feel like when you are this good, you just kind of do what you want. Fair.
He could stand there and you knew as soon as there was a counter-attack, he'd still be the furthest man back.
Yeah, he can afford to be this far forward because he'll be in your own box before anyone else.
Literally, exactly. Like, not only was he an engine, but his speed to get there was just unreal.
The other thing about him is, that really boosts the streets won't forget factor, is A, he was there for a relatively short amount of time, went to China, and nobody ever heard of him again. And the FIFA factor that we've discussed before.
I was about to get there.
If you had a team on FIFA 14, FIFA 15, FIFA 16, you had Ramirez. And there was nobody else to play there other than Ramirez.
He was always cheap as hell. And you'd get into a game and you'd be like, as long as they don't have Ramirez in midfield, I'll be fine.
Just like he was in real life, just so well-rounded.
Yeah.
He was well-rounded. And then you can't get away from the fact that someone defensive should not be that fast. It's not fair. You're not allowed to be that good at winning the ball back and being the quickest guy on the pitch. Go be a winger.
And having vision. Like, he was unbelievably gifted, like, passing-wise.
Am I right in remembering he did play as a winger for a bit? I'm sure he played on the right.
Yeah, he played him out on the right a little bit. And obviously, the Chelsea spell does end, as we've kind of mentioned, and he does kind of fall off after this. He, even at the end of the Chelsea spell, he was kind of moved to the subs bench. Goes out to China, as everyone did in like the mid-2010s. And has like an okay spell. He ends up at Palmeiras, I think 2019-ish. And that's kind of it for him. But in that short spell at Chelsea, he won so much. He was an incredible player to watch. Scored some outrageous goals that an attacker would be proud of, let alone a defensive mid. And he absolutely terrorised the FIFA lives of various teenagers all over the country, if not the world.
I imagine he won a lot of Benfica.
Well, yeah, probably.
Benfica, he was only there for, I think, was it 1 year?
Oh.
Yeah, he was only there for a season, but they did win
the
league.
Didn't they sign him and David Luiz in the same window, both from Benfica, if I remember rightly?
Yeah, I think so, because they both followed the Benfica talent train. You say Marouane Fellaini?
Yeah, I think he was also part of that team.
Or Benfica?
Yeah, was he not at Benfica?
You do this most weeks. I love it. Definitely not.
2009-10. Yeah, no, he was at Everton.
Did he ever play for Benfica?
He's never played for Benfica. He started at standard Liège. He went to Everton, United, and then at Shandong Taishan.
Which, it's gone, mate. It's
doesn't
gone.
Sound very Portuguese to me.
Close enough.
Oh, I love it when you have a rotter. The thing about Ramirez is, if I was a manager, I love this guy. He's given you a 7 out of 10 minimum every week. He can do whatever you ask him to do. He's the first name on the team sheet. Unbelievable.
I don't really remember him being injured.
You don't remember him being injured. And he, another similarity to Kante, is he's never struck me as a player with a big ego.
Yes.
He's a hard worker. Like, you watch him, the work ethic stands out. You don't have a work ethic like that if you're kind of a bellend.
Yeah. I think that performance in the new camp sums him up perfectly. Like, just unbelievable from start to finish at both ends of the pitch.
I don't want to say he won that second leg, because they didn't, but I don't want to say they won them the tie by himself. But it's pretty fucking
Gary
close.
Neville's goalgasm won him that game. Torres!
Oh!
Well, I've gone for a Premier League midfielder also, and I want to start you off with a couple of quotes. Jermaine Defoe once said he could have gone on and won the Ballon d'Or. He was that good. Kevin De Bruyne described him...
Bold of you to start
Go on.
Trying to get us on side with a fucking that quote immediately.
All right, what about Kevin De Bruyne describing him as the best player in the world? And Mauricio Pochettino saying he was so skillful, he would put him up there with Ronaldinho, Maradona, and Diego Ococha. Jesus Christ, JJ Ococha. You really
you put him up there with Diego Costa.
How good they named him once.
You really threw me off there with the Jermaine Defoe thing, for God's sake. But they were all talking about Moussa Dembele. Now,
yeah,
what a player.
As an Arsenal fan, there are very few Tottenham players I'm going to give any kind of respect to. For me, alongside Sol Campbell and Luka Modric, he's probably the only one. He was that good, and I just loved watching him play. On his day, he was unplayable. He was so strong and so powerful, but his feet, his technical ability, the dribbling. Like, as a defensive midfielder, your role often goes unnoticed. You think about the Busquets role. You don't see what he does. You could not take your eyes off him. I just loved watching him play. And there's one stat that shows you how good he was with the ball at his feet. There was a spell in 2016 for 6 months where he was tackled a total of 0 times.
Oh, Jesus.
Unbelievable. I mean, he is probably, and this is going to be a bold statement, but I'm sticking with it.
Here we go.
He's probably one of the most technically gifted players I've seen in the Premier
absolutely.
League. If not the most technically gifted player I've seen.
I don't think
he's
number one. He's definitely up there on the list.
But you ask people that have played with him, I've seen videos of that. You know when they pick a five-a-side team of people they've played with? Moussa Dembele is in almost every single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Kieran Trippier recently was asked, who is the best player you've ever played against or played with? And he said Moussa Dembele, like without a shadow of a doubt.
The guy was a joke. Like, the fact he doesn't get... I think because he didn't win anything, you can't put him up there with the likes of, you know, Lampard, Gerrard, whoever. But in terms of like pure ability, he has to be up there with the best Premier League midfielders we've ever seen. Like, he was top draw.
Do you think it's almost a situation like Abu Dhabi, where because they had that injury proneness, although they were that good, that's why, like, obviously Dhabi was at Arsenal, but he was linked with moves to Real Madrid that never came because of, you know, injury issues. Moussa Dembele maybe never got that move because it might have been a big lump of money for someone who would have been
injured
for half.
Injuries definitely played their part. He basically picked up this ankle injury in 2016, and it was like a recovery problem from there. He underwent multiple operations, and he even admitted at one point that he was never 100% fit again. But to think of how good he was, not at full fitness, is scary. Like,
the stuff he'd do was unreal. Unreal. Like, he'd get the ball in his own box, and you'd be like, well, there's three people around him, he's losing it here. And he'd just, all of a sudden, you'd be like, well, he's out, and he's gone.
I think... I think if he was in his prime now... A lot of managers obviously want midfielders who are comfortable on the ball, especially when they're being pressed and can then break out of that press and go beyond it. He'd be on everybody's wanted list. Like, there'd be nobody better.
For sure.
He's almost like you've got Rodri, who right now is the best centre defensive midfielder in the world. It's like you've got Rodri with that kind of attacking mentality to just play a ball and beat five people, score a goal from miles out. Like, he was the complete footballer.
Yeah.
Thing is, that's the thing, is that he's not, I wouldn't say, a defensive midfielder. But you almost want him screening your back line more than you want an actual defensive midfielder doing that. Because this guy is beating any press. He's got an amazing range of passing and the vision to pull it off. He's great going forward. He's technical on the ball. He is that do-anything player. Where it's almost a shame he was played so deep.
I don't know. I think he was at his best in a deeper role because he played as an attacking midfielder for Fulham. And don't get me wrong, he was decent. But when he was moved further back as Spurs, unbelievable. And I didn't realise this until I was doing some research, but I think it kind of explains the dribbling ability. Until about the age of 18, he was actually a winger, which I think makes
really?
It kind of clear as to why he could beat people in the way he did.
But even still, there's wingers that couldn't do what he was doing with the ball.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I think personally, I think he is the most underrated footballer that I know of.
Do you know what? I'd put him up there 100%. He's just so forgotten.
I think it's hard to disagree.
So forgotten.
He had that spell at Spurs, not really winning anything, which is a shame. Yeah. Because, well, not for Spurs, but for him specifically.
You know, if he got a move to someone like Bayern, he would be on a top 10 Ballon d'Or list.
He's the kind 100%. Of player who makes everyone around him better as well. Like that Pochettino era, Kane and Son, maybe rightfully so, got a lot of the credit for carrying that team for so many years. But Dembele was the guy that made everything tick. Like, everything moved and operated around him.
You don't get to a Champions League final without a good team or someone who can shadow the fact that Eric Dier is playing centre defence.
I mean, there's no CDM in the world good enough to make up for Eric Dier.
Moussa Dembele did.
Or as Willie and I referred to him for a while, as Meaty Dembeals. What a boy.
Yeah, you have a weird parasocial attraction to Moussa Dembele that I don't want to get into.
He's just that good, mate.
He was part of that Belgium golden generation as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on the international stage, I guess he had a chance. They obviously made semi final.
Yeah, finished third in 2018, no, yeah, with, I think. Yeah.
2018. And he was good in the team. That Belgium team was stacked. They should have done a lot better than they did collectively. Mm.
I don't think he started a lot of games for Belgium.
I mean, he got 82 caps for Belgium, so he certainly started a lot of games.
He played a lot of games, definitely. But you think they also had Nainggolan. For some reason, they fell in love with Fellaini. They had Axel Witsel. Like, in that position, they were heavy. He should have been starting above all of them, don't get me wrong.
I guess that then does tie into the other big detractor of him, is how much he was injured.
Yeah.
Like, we've touched on it. It's the thing that stops you breaking to the next level.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you imagine a midfield pivot of an uninjured Dembele and an uninjured Diaby? Jesus Christ.
Who would be better?
Oh,
though,
my God. Thing. It'd be like Patrick Vieira and Gilberto Silva on crack. Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah, because everyone was like, oh, Diaby was going to be better than Vieira and was just never fit. But like, how good would Dembele have been? We'll never know.
North London physio rooms are stacked with potential.
Yeah, you put Wilshere in front of them as well. Incredible.
Yeah. Wilshere, Ledley King, like Aaron Ramsey.
But Aaron Ramsey had his season. Yeah, he's fine.
He had his moment in the sun.
Yeah, he did his bit.
Yeah, I think Moussa Dembele has to be in the Hall of Fame. If not now, at some point. I think he was that good, but he's so forgotten.
There's Gallus. Now it's Gareth Bale. Time is running out for Spurs. Moussa Dembele! That may just send Tottenham through. They needed that. Dembele right on cue. Lovely feet. Fabulous finish.
Right, we've had a strong pairing so far. Who are you bringing
what
in?
That's probably the strongest pairing I've seen. I have gone for someone that I think is criminally forgotten, probably underrated as well. I am going, funny enough, you were talking about the Brazilians earlier, Wooly, and I've gone for a Spaniard in Marcos Senna.
Ooh.
Ooh. However, he was born in Brazil.
We can't get away from it.
He was not only was he born in Brazil, he played in Brazil for about 6 years before he got a move to Villarreal, which is where we know him from, obviously. And that Villarreal team is obviously the team that we know as the Champions League, the top four. You know, not only that, but Marcos Senna has got two Intertoto Cups to his
name. Ooh, this is big.
That, not only one, he's got two. He was known for, you know, he was that Spanish CDM for a number of years. He helped them to the 2008 Euros. That's how I remember him mostly, was that 2008 Euros. He was unbelievable. I mean, off the back of that, he won the Don Balon Award, which is the best Spanish player.
Bloody hell. That's quite an achievement, given all the Spanish players.
Exactly. To be the best Spaniard in that Euro 2008 squad is something unreal. You know, he was a deep-lying playmaker. He got on the ball and he dictated passing. He also had this, like you said, Wooly, you don't usually see him on a pitch. And he was able to do that. obviously he got replaced in the Spanish team by Sergio Busquets, who probably is the greatest of all time at doing what they do.
I mean, getting replaced by the best ever to do it in your position is not really a slight.
Exactly. Yeah, I just remember some of the free kick goals he had. Unbelievable right foot. Scored from a halfway line against Betis like twice, I think. I don't even think, you know, he made the game look easy. He always looked like a 38-year-old in terms of how much he was moving, but it didn't matter. It did not matter.
I could never think of him of anything else other than being he is 36. Like his whole career, to me, he was 36.
His whole career, that's what I mean. Like I just picture him being like nearly 40 every time
he looked old as well. It didn't matter how old he actually was. He looked old.
I mean, his list of honours is unbelievable. He's won... You know, he was runner-up in Copa Libertadores. He's won the Serie A in Brazil. He's won the Paulista Cup. He's won the FIFA Club World Cup. He's won the Intertoto Cup twice.
He's the big one on this list. He's two Intertoto Cups.
He's won the Euros. Like, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He won, you know, UEFA European Championship. That 2008, he was in the team of the tournament. And then got Spanish Player of the Year after that. I just think he's so unsung because Busquets stepped into that position.
I was going to say this. I think if Busquets never existed, this is a big if. If Busquets never existed, I think Senna stays in that team in the role that Busquets obviously went on to play. And I think Senna probably not to the same level because he wouldn't have achieved all the things that Busquets did at Barcelona. But I think his reputation is far more enhanced and he's far more remembered. Because if you think about the Spanish players of that time, he's probably one of the last people you'd mention.
The aspect of being a defensive midfielder is that you're not as well noticed. Mm. I think he embodies that the most out of the three we've had. That he wasn't... He was good at like passing, he had some good long-range shooting, but he wasn't attacking-minded in the same way that the others kind of were, despite them also playing further back.
That's why he suited Spanish football.
He is a deep-line playmaker.
Yeah, he was that pivot, wasn't he? He was that anchor man of you bounce the ball off him, you know you're going to get it back because he's not giving it away. And if he does, he's winning it straight back because he's that good. He was just so useful in a team. There's a reason that Villarreal were able to succeed at being that, you know, challenging that top four in Spain for so long. And I think a lot of it is down to the timeless effects of Marcos Senna looking 36 for probably 20 years and probably playing to the same ability for 20 years.
Like, we give a lot of credit to players who score like the flashy goals or make like the highlight reel plays. A lot of credit has to be given to the guys who are just really fucking good at their job.
Yeah the unsung hero.
Yeah. I would say I imagine his job was made slightly easier when he got the ball to his feet, looked up, and for Villarreal he sees Riquelme, and then for Spain he sees Xavi and Iniesta.
Yeah.
I think that probably does make your job ever so slightly easier, but I don't want to discredit him in any way.
I mean, that Villarreal team in itself is pretty streets won't forget with some of the players.
Yeah, you look over the top and Forlan's making a run, like, come on.
Yeah, Forlan, Rossi, Riquelme, Juan Capdevila, like, the team is unbelievable. Raul Albiol, the team isn't bad, but to have that ability to start almost every game, you know, in La Liga, he played over 30 games, 7 years out of the 90s there. So he stays fit. He plays a lot of games. Scored, you know, in one season, he scores, you know, 5 goals. He gets a couple of assists here and there, but he just did his job well.
Just so I can, for probably the first time in my life, put Marcos Senna somewhere on the general footballing timeline. What year did he make his debut? Because he genuinely could have started playing in 1950 and no one would have batted an eyelid.
So he made his first appearance in a state league at Rio Branco in 1997.
I thought you were going to say like 1990, something like that.
He starts playing for Corinthians in 1999.
So how old is he in 2008? When they,
oh, it's a myth.
When his age is Euros.
Right now, he's 47.
Piss off. I would have said he was in his mid-50s.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, right, about him playing in the 50s, because I was looking at his career history, and he obviously won the Intertoto Cup, which was abolished a billion years ago at this point, but he won something called the Soccer Bowl, and I was looking at this, and yes, it is literally just the football version of the Super Bowl.
What?
And this thing was abolished in 1984. And I think they brought it back for like two seasons and he won it there.
Yeah, New York Cosmos. Guy,
half of this guy's sudding honours list is now defunct trophies.
But, no, that's because he's playing for New York Cosmos, which is a separate league from the MLS.
Oh, bloody hell.
They're the other shitter league that no one actually cares about. But Dan, you talk about him in that Spanish squad, and obviously Busquets replaces him, but have a guess how many caps he got.
About 110.
Yeah, he got 28.
What?
Jesus.
What?
I know. This, to be fair, I kind of get this one, because mid to late, 2000 Spain, especially towards the latter end, one of the most stacked selection pools you've ever seen, especially in midfield.
Even if you're not playing Busquets because he's too young at this point, he gets into the 2010 squad. 2008, you're picking him in a position that Xabi Alonso plays day in, day out.
Yeah. The other thing I would guess is that I assume being Brazilian, he would played in Spain for a number of years and then got Spanish citizenship, which is probably why he's got a lower number of caps.
Yeah, he got his call up in 2006. He obviously got replaced in 2010.
Yeah, and he had the misfortune of every position he wants to play in that 06 to 2010 spot is one of the best players of all time.
Yeah, Fabregas, Cazorla, fucking... Yeah,
like, it's nothing against them personally. You just have the misfortune of being like the third name on a list of two.
And that's the other thing, is because you could see him from this Villarreal side potentially getting a move to Barcelona or Real Madrid, moving up that Spanish league table.
They do not need him.
But that's what I mean. Like, he's got to go into Barcelona, not only compete with Busquets then, but also Yaya Toure. Like, you're not winning those battles. Even Yaya Toure didn't win that battle.
Yeah, footballers have a lot of confidence of like, oh, you know, I can dislodge him from the team. You've got to be looking at Xavi and Iniesta and Busquets thinking, nah, not a fucking chance.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you're playing. You are not dropping any of those
names. Give me the bib, gaffer. I'll sit on the bench. Not a chance.
And I think that's hampered him in how forgotten he is in Spanish. Absolutely. Well, maybe in Spain he's remembered better, but you know, to us here, I could go round a lot of people that watch football and I could say, do you remember Marcos Senna? And I bet a lot of them would go, not really.
Mm-hmm. It is just the nature of the position, though, is that you never get the credit you deserve as a DM.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, like you said, even in that Villarreal side, he's outshone by flashier players like Riquelme, Forlan, Rossi. Like, he's struggling to be the main man of a team where he probably is the unsung hero.
You know what, Harry, I often slander you for your suggestions on this podcast, but genuinely, that's probably one of your best ones.
Yeah, I like that one.
Thanks, mate. Had one of the Brazilian Spaniards.
Yeah, well, of course. Just before we go into the voting, I'd like to point out that Moussa Dembele definitely has a Brazilian third cousin, so if that sways the voting in any way. This is going to be tough, I think. Who would we like to vote for?
Jesus. No, we may as well vote for him, because I'm going to pick between those three.
I'll go first. I'll go first to get us rolling.
He's putting all three in.
No, I would love to vote for Moussa Dembele, but in this scenario, I think voting for my own player when we've got two other great suggestions feels a bit wrong. Purely because I remember it more, and that goal against Barcelona lives rent for him ahead. Like, it's an absolute thing of beauty. I'm going to go with Ramirez.
Nice. Nice.
Okay.
Do you want me to go, Wooly?
Yeah, you go, mate.
I think this is one of the hardest trios we've had. I think the two of them are arguably underrated at how good at football they were. And I think one of them is just too forgotten for how good he was. But for how good of a player he was, I think he's one of the best players I've watched play football. I'm having to vote for Moussa Dembele. Yes. He is one of the best players I've seen on a football pitch. Like, technically, just unbelievable.
Do not vote for Marcos Senna, please. Don't do this.
Do it. Do it. We could have all three. I don't see any problem with all three.
Okay. See, there's... There are thoughts. Is that I'm a big fan of giving the credit to the unsung hero in the team. But it's like a personal preference. I think the other two, probably just because of the fact they played in the Prem, probably stood out in my mind more.
Yeah.
Which is an unfair judgment, but I don't get biased. Deal with it. It's our fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Of the two, I think they're both great in different ways. My only thinking with Moussa Dembele
that he played for Spurs.
Is that he played for Spurs, and he seems more of like a midfielder out and out rather than the defensive CDM. Side.
Have a word with yourself, mate.
That's to be fair, so was Ramirez.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it was meant to be defensive. He never did it.
But... like, you're going to do a full U-turn here and go back to Marco Senna.
I mean, if we wanted to put them all three in, I would not be opposed.
If you say the words, I would like to vote for Marco Senna, then I'm happy to do it. But I need to hear it from your mouth with conviction.
It's about time that we ignored the flashier plays for a guy who just does the dirty work and goes home in the evening. And because of that, I'm going to vote for Ramirez. No, I will vote for Marcos Senna because I think he deserves some credit.
Okay, to be fair, we've not put anybody in a while, so I think putting all three in,
we
can get away with it here.
And I think eventually all three were going to get in.
I'd agree at some point down the line. So do you know what? Let's just do it now. Congratulations to Ramirez, Moussa Dembélé and Marcos Senna, the three newest members of the Streets Won't Forget Hall of Fame.
God, I've got the fucking shakes. I'm so excited.
Well, you're going to be even more excited because we have a quiz.
Ooh.
Oh, God, here we go.
It's something easy this week because my brain is not working.
Right.
No, Wooly, you've got to name the New York Cosmos team that won the Super Bowl.
How did you know?
It's actually the soccer ball. Thank you very much, mate.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Well, you know I normally like to link the quizzes to the episodes.
What the hell is this going to be?
This week, I've not done that because... I saw something on social media a couple of weeks ago, and it was two teams from a certain game, which I'll reveal in a second. And honestly, these teams were the single most hilarious thing I've ever seen in a footballing context. I knew we had to do a starting 11 on it. So the game is Everton 4, Wolfsburg 1, from September 18th, 2014, in the Europa League group stage. Harry, okay. You can kick us off, my friend.
I am going to go straight in with Kevin Morales.
Kevin,
oh, you bastard.
Kevin Morales is a correct answer.
Did he score?
I can't remember.
Because I've got a feeling he scored. That's the only reason he's popped into my head.
I can't remember because I couldn't stop laughing at the teams, honestly. Some of the names in here are amazing.
This Everton team, I'm pretty sure, is like the Everton team. Like all of the shitters you think of. From like 2010's Everton have got to be here.
What you forget is we've literally rehearsed for this so many times. We have gone through Everton's starting 11.
But Harry and I went on a holiday. We were in Spain. We were sharing a room. And every night we'd go to bed utterly hammered and just start talking about the Everton team from like 2008 to 2016.
Will it finally pay off?
Literally a week we just discussed Everton's starting XI for the past 10 years.
Oh man. Well,
the Wolfsburg team has got a lot of gettable and slightly odd names as well. So, you'll be fine on.
I'm fairly certain Kevin De Bruyne was in this Wolfsburg.
Kevin
team.
De Bruyne is a correct answer.
I think Ricardo Rodriguez is in this team.
Oh. I turned him into the best left back in the world.
I have remembered some of the goal scorers because Ricardo Rodriguez is a correct answer. He scored the only Wolfsburg goal and scored an own goal.
Fantastic. Oh, you love to see it.
What a performance that is in a 4-1 defeat.
Great player.
The best left back in the world.
Well, speaking of left backs, can I have Leighton Baines?
Leighton Baines.
Means on toast.
Is a correct answer. He scored a penalty as well, Leighton Baines, that I do also remember.
Of course he did.
It's early. I've got three lives, but I'm having a risk. I'm going for Samuel Eto'o.
Samuel Eto'o was a substitute. He was a used substitute. That is a correct answer.
Fucking hell. Didn't he win number 5?
Yeah, he did. Like William Gallas halved.
What the fuck was he doing?
It was after the Chelsea spell, wasn't it? And his legs had gone.
Yeah, it was.
The three Everton subs are top draw football comedy. Like, unbelievable. There's three subs each from both teams, by the way.
Nice. Can I have Timmy Howard in goal?
Tim Howard.
Oh, good shout. Good shout.
Is a correct answer.
I saw him make the best save I've ever seen.
Yeah, you often bring it up.
Because it's European Cup, you're not sure whether they're playing a subkeeper.
Who the fuck even is the subkeeper?
Is it Kellenberg? I don't know.
Or is it Joel Robles?
I might.
Why don't you say it and find out, mate?
Well, no, because he's not going to come on, surely.
Hey, you never know.
I will have... Seamus Coleman.
Seamus Coleman is a correct answer.
Devastated that it can't be Tony Hibbert.
The subkeeper was Joel Robles.
Oh, and he didn't play. Oh, gutsy. I mean, they came off on FIFA all the time. This has got to be right. Luis Gustavo.
Luis. What if you said it like that?
Why did you sound like you're from Cardiff?
I don't know, mate. It came
Luis
over
Gustavo
me.
That,
Luis Gustavo.
Welsh midfielder Luis Gustavo is a correct answer.
Luis.
Yeah, correct answer. Nice.
Luis Jones Gustavo. Oh, fuck it. Why not? Naldo.
Naldo.
Oh, you bastard.
Did we put Naldo in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I'm pretty sure he's in the Hall of Fame.
It was him.
David Luiz and Alex.
Wasn't it three Brazilians?
Yeah, it was Alex.
Yeah.
I think.
Oddly enough, it was the Brazilians episode. Yeah.
No, it was the centre backs episode. We just all.
No, it was centre backs. We just all happened to have Brazilians.
I think that's where the joke started. Quite honestly. Oh,
we've got to do a podcast in Rio.
No, the. Not the Hall of Fame is actually buried under Copacabana Beach, little do people know. Don't go and look for either. Naldo is a correct answer.
I forgot about that.
What, that it was buried under Copacabana Beach?
No, mate, it's in the Maracanã.
I wonder what that stadium looks like now, because it wasn't finished when they were playing in it.
Like a Streets Won't Forget Hall of Fame, fella.
Is that where it is? That's the location of the whole thing.
To throw people off, we've covered the pitch in sand from the Copacabana beach.
It's now a beach volleyball stadium.
This is taking a real turn. Ben, can I have an answer, please?
Yeah. Can I have Romelu, you make it all okay, Lukaku?
His first touch has just landed in my living room. Romelu Lukaku is a correct answer.
Well, the way you said that, just for some reason, just gave me the vibe of the Tigers are going to maul you.
You are getting mauled by the Tigers, mate. It's not optional.
What was the tune from? Was it that enemy
not a choice.
Song called Saturday? I'm pretty sure it was. It was on FIFA, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Leon Osman.
Leon Osman.
Fucking hell.
Was a substitute.
Naturally.
I would have thought he'd be starting, to be honest.
He was a used substitute. That is a correct answer.
Oh, fucking hell. Thank God for that.
So then, you've now got Christ. Two of the three of the funniest substitutions in football history. You've got one more to go.
I mean, what the fuck is... Samuel Eto'o for Romelu Lukaku. That should have been a sub at Inter. Why is that at Everton?
I've got a meme name. That might have been a sub. I have no idea how old he was at this point.
Go on.
Stephen Naismith.
Oh, fuck off. That guy is absolute shite. I will not hear that. Get that name out of here.
Stephen Naismith. Partnered Romelu Lukaku up front. That is a correct answer.
Oh, piss off.
Oh, my good God. He was our record transfer for Norwich for about 4 years until it was broken by Ricky van Wolfswinkel.
What a combination of players that
isn't
is.
Isn't that shocking?
But, paid Roberto 8 million Martinez for Everton might be the most funny thing ever, genuinely. Some of the players.
How did this man go from Everton to Belgium?
And now to Portugal.
And, like, the best Belgium team. Yeah.
And was linked with Barcelona.
Jesus God. That one I would have paid to see.
Ooh, Gareth Barry.
I mean, it's a fairly decent guess. The guy's been about for 25 years.
I just completely
years.
Forgot he existed.
Gareth Barry.
CDM role, mate, that's
is
why.
Is a correct answer.
Yeah, chuck him in with Marcos Senna, mate. Unsung hero.
That is the oldest midfield partnership in football history.
They're always 40. Yeah.
I'm not going to say it right, but do you remember that Wolfsburg bloke we loved on FIFA, Dan?
Oh. Possibly.
Probably a lot.
It's like Josh Wivahui or something.
Was it Guilavogi?
Josh Guilavogi.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Good player.
Was a substitute.
Oh.
He was a used substitute. That is the correct answer.
Oh. Honestly, FIFA's doing bits.
He's still there. And at this point,
right now.
The guy I'm thinking of, I'm certain he's still there, and he's been there for fucking years. Surely he played. Well, fuck it. Max Arnold.
Maximilian Arnold is a correct answer.
On FIFA, you went up to like 92 rated if you got him. Like, what happened to him?
He played for Wolfsburg, and not Bayern Munich.
I'm certain he's still there.
I think he is.
I think
is,
he probably
yeah.
is. What's I mean, Florian Wirtz is going the same way, isn't he?
Nah, he'll get a move.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he doesn't need one at this point, to be fair.
I'll take him to Arsenal. Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, get rid of Jesus.
Yeah, please.
Please.
Take him and Eddie and Ketir out the back. Just get rid of them.
Poor Eddie.
Fucking useless, Eddie.
His rap career is taking off.
When we went 1-0 down the other day and I saw he brought him on, I knew it was over. It was not a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the point? You're now playing with 10 men.
He doesn't strike fear in you as a defender.
He doesn't strike
you're not like,
all
oh god, how
well
did he hold on to this 1-0? Yeah, true.
Anyway.
The Patson Daka of the Premier League.
Please, I'm on the edge. Can we move back to the quiz?
Can I send you over the edge?
Go on.
Phil Jagielka.
Yeah, great shout. I was debating
there
it.
There is somebody in the Wolfsburg team that would send me over the edge. I promise you.
The goal he scored against Liverpool.
Yeah.
That one where he like rifles yeah. it top end. It lives in my mind. It gets replayed daily.
88th minute, 1-0 down at Anfield, and he buries
Osh.
It.
Phil Jagielka. Is a correct answer.
It's a bolt from the blue.
Secret Everton fan. I'm going to be honest.
There's no part of me that wants that depression.
That video.
You get enough from Norwich, don't you?
That video of Dwight McNeil sent me the other day.
when they said he's really grown into Everton. Look how fucking depressed he is. I'm like, the man's gone from Burnley to Everton. What is more depressing?
Jesus. Kicked out of United's academy. Freak, I can't take set pieces.
Yeah, for being shit at set pieces. I love the idea that he was so bad. They looked at him and went, it's not enough to have someone else taking them. We need this guy gone.
He's hitting the first man with every corner 100%.
It's like there's a chance he ends up taking one during a game and we cannot risk this.
The funny part is the strongest part of Dwight McNeil's game is probably his delivery into the box.
Yeah, it is. I will have James McCarthy, please.
James McCarthy is a correct answer.
Played so many games for Everton.
Is Stones is still here at this point, right?
John Stones.
Ooh.
Is a correct answer.
Fucking hell.
You've got one Everton starter left and one sub.
Ooh. We haven't got the Wolfsburg striker, have we?
No.
Is it Nicholas Bentner?
Nicholas Bentner was a substitute.
Oh, no.
I said somebody had sent me over the edge. He was a used substitute.
This is a risky
Go
one.
Go on.
Because it's Bundesliga keepers, I'm guessing at. Is it Ron Robert Zieler?
Ron Robert Zieler. Is an incorrect answer. And you are down to two lives. Harry, back to you.
I understand.
What do we need, Dan?
You've got one Everton starter, one Everton sub. You've got the Wolfsburg goalkeeper, the right back, the centre back, a central midfielder, a winger, and one sub who is a midfielder. Both subs are midfielders. Give you a slight move in the right direction.
Punted the Everton starter. I'll go Christian Atsu.
Christian Atsu was a substitute.
Oh.
He was an unused substitute. That is an incorrect answer. Oh. Two lives each.
All right, we're going with the new tact of just people I know played for Wolfsburg at some point. Because I'm fairly certain for years their captain was a German bloke with the most English name you've ever heard. Because I know Aaron Hunt was there.
Aaron Hunt was a substitute. He was a used substitute. That is a correct answer.
Ooh.
That's all the Wolfsburg subs done.
Is the keeper Bonaglio?
Diego Bonaglio.
Oh.
Is a correct answer.
I was thinking
he was Jan Sommer, yeah.
Yeah, I was doing exactly the same.
Swiss Bundesliga keepers should not be coming up that often, but here we are.
What the fuck is wrong with us? Why do we know this shit?
Oh, I think it's too early for him.
Go on.
Is Bernard playing for Everton?
Bernard.
Oh, that's a great shout.
Is an incorrect answer. Down to a single life, Ben.
So, are we looking for an Everton winger? Is that why we're saying wingers?
Yes.
I'm assuming
yes.
So. I'm going to say a fucking stupid
Go
name.
Go on.
Aidan McGeady.
Aidan McGeady is a correct answer.
Fuck off!
Now, you cannot tell me I was incorrect by saying these are the funniest teams in football history.
Oh, God. How are they in Europe?
God knows.
If you're going down the banter line, I think there's another one out there.
And back to you with a single life.
Oh, I don't know. This is 2014, right?
Yep. September 18th, 2014.
Who are we missing?
You're missing an Everton sub, a midfielder. You're missing the Wolfsburg.
I think he's the banner man.
You're missing the... Possibly. You're missing the Wolfsburg right-back, centre-back, defensive midfielder, winger and striker.
Right, Willie, have a think now about who was at Everton as a midfielder that really shouldn't have been anywhere near the Premier League.
Yeah, but that's the entire Everton team.
There's a lot of them.
If it's not in the game, and I'm devastated. That's the main takeaway.
Big Tony,
the most average man you've ever seen. He was never good. He was never bad. He was just there.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking. Gibson was there, wasn't he? Gibson.
Please, this is the man I mean, Willie. This is the man I mean.
They had the baldest midfield I've ever seen.
Give us Darren Gibson, please.
Darren Gibson was a substitute.
Oh, fuck you, that's not a surprise.
You substitute.
Right, there is something you could do with this Wolfsburg team, though, is if we just guess random German names.
I think they're all names you'd know, at least from somewhere.
Oh, is the striker Olic?
Ivica Olic.
The Croatian bloke.
Yes.
Good player.
Is a correct answer. Good player.
Weird team, this Wolfsburg team.
I told you.
Ooh. Was he Wolfsburg or was he Werder Bremen? This is the other confusion, is knowing who played for Werder Bremen and who played for Wolfsburg.
Oh, because they're wearing green. Mm. Come on, mate, you're better than that.
Yeah, but it's a similar logo as well.
Were they playing for Norwich?
No. Don't be so silly. Well, Stephen Naismith
way too good for Norwich.
So if we've got the Everton team.
Yeah,
right?
Everton's done. You're just on Wolfsburg now. Right back, centre back, holding midfielder and a winger, and then you're there. You're four from home. Can you do it?
Well, God knows.
Ooh.
Is it awful that the only name I can think of is the guy that died?
Yeah, that's exactly my next shout, mate.
I'd try it.
Melander.
Junior nice. Melander. Sadly no longer with us. Was the holding midfielder. That is the correct answer.
R.I.P. Thanks for the point.
Unbelievable player. Unbelievable player.
He died really young.
I think he was only 20.
Yeah, 20.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Which is a shame.
Right, so we need the winger. Or two wingers.
No. We need one winger. Kevin De Bruyne played as a winger. God only knows why.
Oh,
what? Yeah.
I think it's way too early. Oh, fuck it, we'll try it. Hakan Çalhanoğlu.
Hakan Çalhanoğlu, who I don't think has ever played for Wolfsburg.
No, fuck it.
Is an incorrect answer.
I'm certain he did.
He played for Schalke.
When he scored
and he
that,
played for Hamburg.
When he scored that screamer, I thought he was at Wolfsburg.
No, it was Hamburg.
Oh, it's Hamburg, of course.
Yeah, they don't even wear green, you idiot. Come on.
Oh, didn't play for Norwich either.
I bet you wish he did.
Yeah, I wish.
Right, a life each.
Definitely.
Oh. Pressure is on.
Oh.
I do not know. Who are we missing for Wolfsburg?
Right back, centre back, and a winger.
Ooh.
A winger was at Wolfsburg for a long time.
Oh, I don't know.
Are you going to pass and give up? Is that what this is leading
to? It's a shame to pass with one life. But it's also cheap to just go like, I'm going to pick a German name.
Tell you what, Wooly, if you do pass, I have to get one right, otherwise we call it a draw.
Do you have a name in mind?
I do.
All right, let's do that. Come on.
Okay. All right, give us your name, mate.
Daniel Caligiuri.
For the win.
He's been there, yonks. Well, was
Daniel Caligiuri is a correct answer. Harry is our winner.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
As soon as he said that wing has been was at Wolfsburg for yonks, I thought, yeah.
Fair enough. Well played.
Congratulations.
Mate. Yeah, I was, to be fair, two teams that were fun to try and guess.
The two players you were missing, the right back was Sebastian Jung.
Oh. Is he not for Dortmund?
I don't think so.
Didn't he go to Atletico Madrid as well?
God knows. And the other centre back was Robin Knock.
Oh, fucking hell. He was there years.
Yeah, I believe he's at Union Berlin now. But good effort and well done, Harry. Well played.
Thank you, mate. Well done, fellas.
Good, nice.
Well, that was another episode of the Streets Won't Forget podcast. Congratulations to our newest Hall of Fame members, Marcos Senna, Ramirez and Moussa Dembele. We will be back next week with another episode. But in the meantime, please give us a 5-star rating on Spotify and a follow. It really helps us out. You can follow us on social media as well. Our Twitter is at @SWF_pod. And our TikTok and Instagram is Streets Won't Forget podcast. And if you've got anything you want to tell us, your memories of that Everton team, did you ever stay up at night talking about it like these two idiots with me? Probably not. You can email us. It is thestreetswon'tforgetpodcast@gmail.com. Boys, thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure as always.
Have a good one.
Ah, will do, mate. We'll see you next week.
1, 2, 3, 4. Gira can hit them. Did!
From David Villa, great finish.
He's done just that, he scored! Jorginho's done it!
Dekubu making another glimpse of goal here!